In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I read somewhere this week that unless you're planning on preaching about this horrible Old Testament story, you better not even put it in your bulletin. So I will preach about this horrible Old Testament story. Remember, this was normal operating procedure in Abraham's time. Child sacrifice was normal. And I think that this is an important scripture for us for two reasons. They were transitioning away from ritual child sacrifice, but it really serves to remind us of all the symbolism of sacrifice that went into and supports the sacrifice of God's only Son, Jesus, perfect without blemish, no bone broken. All those Old Testament stories of sacrifice that undergird what Christianity and the sacrifice of God's only Son, Jesus, is about. And also, if we look at the Hebrew words for God in this passage, I think we also see a transitioning of the Israelites' understanding, the Hebrew understanding of God, and what it means to listen to God, and how we understand listening to God. But I first want to back up a little bit and tell you a joke. And usually I'm telling you a joke if I don't have confidence in the joke. And on the way out, at first service, the first person said, "Good joke." And the second person going out said, "I thought it was really lame." So there you go. Tom usually says, "Don't tell them that before you tell them the joke." But anyway, Abraham was building a computer. And Isaac, as the younger person, the son, just has no confidence in his father and his work with computers, of course. You know, if you're an older person and you want something done with computers, you have a child. Or at this point in the age, you ask your grandchild. But anyway, remember, this is people well before our time, too. So this is a desktop, a good old-fashioned desktop computer. You know, one that looks like this. Maybe takes up a whole room, even. But Abraham is working on it. And he screws in a motherboard. He attaches a power supply. He puts in a hard drive, a video card, a CPU. And Isaac is thinking, well, this is pretty impressive. He's doing okay so far. And Abraham says, "Yes, this is great. This is good. I'm done. Here it is." And Isaac says, "Well, you know, what about the memory? You need to have memory for this to work." Abraham says, "Don't worry, this is going to be okay." Isaac says, no, it's not going to be okay. You need to have memory. Abraham says, "There's no problem. God will provide the ram." Well, this Old Testament story, you got to lighten up this story with something, even if it's a lame joke. This Old Testament story of Abraham and Isaac is usually told as a story of great faith. Abraham had enough faith to be willing to sacrifice his only son. And remember, this is a son that was sacred to him. He had waited so long. Sarah was beyond childbearing years. He thought he would never have a son. This was a sacred son to him. And then God tells him to sacrifice him in this way. And Abraham proves willing to do this. And he has so much faith to go right to the point and prove to be willing that God finally says, no, you don't need to do that. You've proven your faith. A ram will be provided. That's the way the story is interpreted. And even now, child sacrifice lives. It lives in the form of Jesus Christ died for our sins. God needed Jesus to die for our sins because we were so sinful that something had to be done for it. Someone needed to die in our place, and that was Jesus. And God gave his only son in our place to pay for our sins. That's substitutionary atonement. God found people so sinful that God needed a replacement. And Jesus was the perfect replacement. And through Jesus' death, we could be reconciled to God. That's the theology. That's the way substitutionary atonement goes. Many Christians, even many of you sitting right here, have difficulty with that, struggle with that. Many non-Christians struggle with that, trying to make sense of that. Just as many try to make sense about Abraham being told by God to tie up his son to a pile of wood, slit his throat, and set everything on fire. How can that be? Now, I have heard Jesus' saving grace be presented this way, and a person say, I think perhaps this is Jesus' saving grace for us. This is why God sent Jesus. This is why Jesus was willing to die. This is the atonement, that Jesus went to death because deluded human beings crucified Jesus and believed that they were faithfully serving God and showing loyalty, some of them, to the emperor, whom they believed to be God, showing loyalty to the Sanhedrin, showing loyalty to the Jewish leaders, maybe serving loyalty to those in power, maybe lusting for power themselves, creating an idol of themselves, maybe. This is what Jesus came to save us from. Have you ever heard Jesus came to save us from ourselves? He came to save us from ourselves, from false gods that we construct and we follow, to unmask our delusions. And he was willing to die for that. And he lives forever because that is a need that goes on forever. And that brings me to the second point. Are we listening to God when we think we are listening to God? When we think we're doing things in his name? And that brings me back to the first lesson. Don't list the first lesson unless you're going to preach on it. So go back to page 3, the first lesson. The first 3 words, God tested Abraham. If we read Hebrew, I'd put this passage into Hebrew. And that first word would be Elohim. In English, the way we would spell it, E-L-O-H-I-M. It's the oldest word for God in the Old Testament, the Hebrew scripture. I am at the end usually means plural. It's also a generic word. It can be any God. It can mean gods. In our first commandment, do not serve any other gods before me. Gods is Elohim. Gods, or any god. Elohim tested Abraham. And you don't need to find it down there, but if you go through and you yourself circle God in this passage, down about, well, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines, Abraham goes out to cut wood in a place where God, Elohim, showed him. On the next page, at the beginning of a new paragraph, when they came to the place Elohim, God showed him, that's where Abraham built the altar. But then go down after that, 3 more lines, but an angel of the Lord, L-O-R-D, all capital letters. If you referred to your Bible, that would be in a different font. Maybe the other part would be 12 case and this part would be 10 case. But it would look different and it would be all in caps. That would be Yahweh, the name that God gave Moses when Moses said, well, who are you? Who am I going to say to my people in the wilderness that I've been talking to? Yahweh, Yahweh, I am who I am, or I am who I am becoming. That's a different, totally different name. And it's a one true God, singular. Yahweh talked to him. The angel of the Lord called out, don't lay your hand on the boy. And at the end, Abraham calls this place, Yahweh will provide. As it is said on this day, on the mount of Yahweh, it shall be provided. And you might note also our Psalm 13. It speaks about Yahweh, speaks to Lord Yahweh. The editors of the final edition of our Bible consciously used different terms for God at the beginning than at the end of this passage. Was Abraham listening to a different God at the beginning than at the end? Was it a false understanding at the beginning than at the end? Was an Elohim, some other God, testing Abraham? Or was Abraham coming to believe something different about what God was requesting? The one true God, was he commanding an end to child sacrifice? Was the test not whether Abraham hears and obeys God, but whether he recognizes the one true voice of God? Because the one true voice of God in this passage is calling for an end to violence. Does the one true God ever want violence? Do we humans sometimes seek to justify our violent natures, calling on an Elohim or something else sacred rather than the one true God? In the gospel today, Jesus reassures us of a reward for hearing the one true voice of God. He promises an everlasting covenant that whenever we encounter the little ones or the weaker people, we're not to turn away. Rather, we're to comfort and care for them in whatever way we can, even if it is to just offer a cup of cold water. In whatever way we are to take action, we just need to listen to the one true God. We just need to listen. In the name of the one true God, amen.